Being on the radio is rather nifty, harvesting seeds we've sowed. For me, it's show number 450. Let's get it on the road. Welcome, everybody, to Spectrum West, where the arts and culture of Western Wisconsin come to life and come alive in the voices of people who make it happen. This week, it's Ladysmith Black Mambazo, world famous for harmony and energy, coming to Ladysmith, Wisconsin. You don't want to miss our conversation with Albert Mazabuco, a member since 1969, and we'll sample their exquisite craft. The Barron County Pioneer Museum hosts a special gathering next weekend. We asked director Tammy Schutz to fill in the blanks. Jim Oliver introduces us to the Sod House Theater, a unique theater concept visiting just across the border in Taylor's Falls, Minnesota. Artistic director Darcy Engen talks with Jim. That's some of what's on the menu, and here's the first course. People don't talk a lot about the Wisconsin State Fair around here because the Minnesota State Fair is close and impressive. It's probably because I don't hear people talk about the Wisconsin State Fair much around here that I decided to talk about it with communications director Christy Chuckle. Well, around Western Wisconsin, Christy, you have some hefty competition. The Minnesota Fair is the largest in America by average daily attendance.
Yes.
And second largest in America by total attendance, trailing only Texas. Here is my take. We dislike the Minnesota Vikings, but love their state fair. And to me, that's a bit selectively two-faced.
I agree.
And it would seem that even though it's an easier drive to the Twin Cities for most people who live in western Wisconsin, one can see a whole bunch of the state on the way to Milwaukee. You would fight smaller crowds upon arrival, and you would support the state and residents in which and with whom you live. So my plea is reconsider it this year.
I agree with that, and you don't have to choose, because we're not at the same time.
That's right.
So if you love state fairs, you can do both. You do us first,
yeah,
and then you have a little break in there, and then you can head up to Minnesota if you still want to go to that fair, which is a great fair, absolutely, but you're right. Hmm. I mean, it's not Wisconsin, and if you live in Wisconsin and you want to support, you know, a lot of the Wisconsin businesses and the Wisconsin agriculture industry, then you really need to make your way down. And you said it, there's not only so much to do on your way to Milwaukee, but if you can make the trip and stay in this area for a few days, not only is the fair going on, but as most people know, there's so much going on in Milwaukee in the summer.
Yes.
So there are a lot of other things to do. The zoo is right near here.
Mm-hmm.
We're close to downtown. So there's a lot to do in this area.
Yeah, and imagine the popularity of a dad who at the dinner table one night says, "Hey gang, guess what? We're going to do two state fairs this year." Can you imagine the pandemonium that would set in? There would be food flying.
Absolutely. The zoo interchange, the construction project that has been in front of the fair park for 5 years, is basically complete. That's a huge thing to let people know as well. Literally, we are one corner of the zoo interchange, and almost all of the ramps are open now. It's absolutely beautiful. It's really easy to get through. So if that's been stopping you, then don't let it stop you anymore.
Yes. We're on the phone with Christy Chuckle. She is communications director for the Wisconsin State Fair. Hey, I hear you saying Wisconsin has a state fair. Yes, and has for 166 years. It's going to be the 167th this year. It's Thursday, August 2nd through Sunday, August 12th. Now, Christy, let's get specific. Let's give our listeners and our audience some concrete reasons, or maybe some cream puff reasons, to come to the Wisconsin State Fair. I touched there on one of the main attractions, 400,000 cream puffs consumed last year. Food is a great place to start, isn't it?
It is. It is the number one reason people come to our fair. Going back to the Minnesota State Fair, we do food a little differently here than they do. When you go into the Minnesota State Fair, you'll see a lot of vendors who have just one item.
Mm-hmm.
They really specialize in one thing. And when you come here, it's very different. We have a lot of restaurants here at Wisconsin State Fair. They're actually people who own restaurants in Milwaukee. And they set up a full restaurant, basically, here at the fair with seating and umbrellas, and you can get waitress table service. That's not very common for a state fair, so it really sets us apart. Milwaukeeans, absolutely, Wisconsinites, I think, in general, love live music and live entertainment. So we have so much entertainment here at the Wisconsin State Fair, but a lot of those restaurants that I was just referring to have bands that play. So not only can you go sit down, get a bite to eat, have a waitress come serve you, but you can also listen to a band while you're doing it. And again, that sets us apart from really most state fairs in the country.
Wow, cool.
I encourage people to go online, check out the entertainment schedule. We have 30 stages at the fair park, so there's a lot to see and a lot to do.
Okay.
And then going back to the food, we have more than 80 new foods this year. They're all over the board. Some of them are breakfast items. Some of them are somewhat standard, but just something you haven't seen here before. And then some of them are just completely crazy off-the-wall things. People keep talking about this French onion soup on a stick.
Ooh.
But those are the kinds of things that our vendors will come up with. It's fun to even just get here and say, okay, I have to try that.
Tell us about Spin City.
Spin City is our amusement ride and game area, referred to as the Midway sometimes.
Sure.
We have 50 rides, so great selection of rides, 50 rides, 30 games. The difference with our amusement ride area, which is actually similar to Minnesota, but we call it an independent Midway. So what that means is we don't have one company that comes in and just brings in all the rides and all their games and manages the area.
Mm-hmm.
We take it very seriously. We think it's such an important part of the fair. Not only do we want it to be quality rides, but we want them to be safe. We want to control the way the area is laid out so that it's easy to get around. So we basically put that whole thing together. We handpick ride operators and game operators that we know have good reputations. We invite them to come to this fair, and we set the whole thing up. We select the vendors, the different food and beverage vendors, which there's some in that area as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we really lay that whole area out. We have seating and umbrellas and things there. So it's a really, you know, it's just a good experience for families in general. We have adult rides, kiddie rides. You can buy wristbands to ride all day, good on the day that you purchase them, or you can buy tickets, and you can buy sheets of tickets. The more tickets you buy, the better discount you get, and then those tickets are good for any ride or game.
We're talking about the Wisconsin State Fair here on Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. We were talking earlier about why should people in western Wisconsin go to the fair. Unless what I'm about to describe happens to them, they lose sight of the fact that the State Fair is big and it represents the entire state of Wisconsin. And I'll tell you what I did this weekend. I just decided to take a little road trip, and I ended up at the Trempealeau County Fair.
Oh, great.
And I went into the exhibition buildings, and I saw this wonderful, cool little dress. Of course, everything there had a ribbon, whether it was blue or red or pink or white. And this little dress had State Fair Selected on it, on a ribbon.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, well, okay, if you know that family's going to the State Fair.
Yes.
And so you get that kind of, what, input? From all over, I mean, to the farthest reaches of the state.
Absolutely, and it depends on the competition, but we have exhibitors from every single county. You know, and whether they're exhibiting livestock or, like you mentioned, our crafts, culinary competitions, we have photography competition, horticulture, the flowers and the vegetables. People, you know, come from all over the state. They do show at their county fair. Absolutely, there's representation from all over.
Christy, you are a communications specialist. I'm going to allow you to take a minute, like in a political debate,
okay. And
summarize why people should put the State Fair back in their lives if it's been missing, and keep in mind that you have kind of a skeptical audience way over here on the western side of the state.
Well, we talked a little bit about the history, but 167 years of the Wisconsin State Fair. The fair was created to celebrate the agriculture industry in Wisconsin. We really need to support the agriculture industry, and we want people to understand it and learn more about it. So even if you grew up in a community where agriculture was very important, I think coming to Milwaukee and seeing that convergence of agriculture in an urban area is pretty amazing, and the educational aspect of it is phenomenal. The Minnesota State Fair is a fabulous state fair. They have a lot of really good things.
Yep.
But I think as someone who lives in Wisconsin, if you can make your way down, and if you love your county fair, we tell people the Wisconsin State Fair is just everything you love about your county fair, but on a bigger scale. More rides, we have more food, we have more entertainment, and just the whole scope of it. Once you get here, seeing it during the day and all these people who are just happy to be here, and they're with their families, and they're creating memories, and generation after generation come back to the fair. There's obviously a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, seeing the fair at night, you know, when all the lights are on, whether it's the lights from the rides or just the lights from our vendors, there's this magical feeling in the air. Again, so much entertainment. Everywhere you turn, you can find something. And whatever your fancy is, if food is your thing, clearly we have a lot of food. But we have so much live music. We have so much family-friendly entertainment. We have jugglers and magicians and roving street entertainers and things that kids just absolutely love. So I really hope that people can take advantage of some of the deals we have. It's really inexpensive. As long as you do your research, we have a bunch of admission deals where you can get in for a discount. Opening day, if you bring two non-perishable food items, it costs just $2 to get into the fair.
Wow.
So that's until 4 p.m. We've been doing that for years. It's called Wells Fargo $2 Day, benefiting Hunger Task Force. So all that food that's donated not only gets you into the fair very inexpensively, but it's also donated to a good cause. We do a lot of things like that. So there's ways to save money on admission. There's ways to save money when you get in here. It's just a great summer tradition. There's a lot of expensive attractions and entertainment things out there, but you can really do this pretty inexpensively.
Nice job on the summary. If you were, and this were a political debate, I would vote for you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Christy Chuckle, Communications Director, Wisconsin State Fair. The website is wistatefair.com. It happens August 2nd through the 12th, 167th Wisconsin State Fair on the State Fairgrounds in Milwaukee. Christy, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, the Wisconsin State Fair. It's cool. It belongs to you. Maybe you came from another part of the state like I did. Maybe it's time we rediscovered it. Let the people for whom it's easy to attend know that we're willing to make the trip and support it just like we do the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks and the Badgers. Just a thought. Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, coming to Ladysmith, Wisconsin. We have a chat coming up that you don't want to miss. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Simply Dunn in Downsville, home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery influenced by nature, including tableware, vases, and cookingware. More at simply-dunn.com. Support also comes from Marquardt Toyota, dedicated to providing an enjoyable and stress-free buying experience and process with welcoming facilities located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, or at MarquardtToyota.com. Well, it's Jim Oliver's turn with what's on stage in Western Wisconsin.
Thank you, sir. Music Man will be staged through Sunday at the Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown will be staged by the Spring Valley Stagehands Theater through Sunday in the Stagehands Theater in Spring Valley. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, the final stage production at the State Theater in downtown Eau Claire, will be presented through Sunday by the Eau Claire Children's Theater. Leading Ladies, a comedy production of the Festival Theater, continues through August 5th in the Franklin Square Black Box in St. Croix Falls. The Music Man will be staged by the Great River Road Theater through Sunday in the Prescott High School Auditorium. Always, Patsy Cline will be performed on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. And the St. Croix Art Barn of Osceola is performing Annie through Sunday.
Thank you very much, sir. And this week, in his more expanded role as special correspondent, Jim Oliver welcomes a fresh voice with news about a unique production just west of our boundary, but well within our reach.
Henrik Ibsen was a Norwegian playwright, theater director, and poet. As one of the founders of modernism in theater, Ibsen is often referred to as the father of realism and one of the most influential playwrights of his time. Ibsen's 1882 play, An Enemy of the People, examines how a community responds when a local doctor threatens to expose the water it relies upon for tourism is being poisoned. It questions how far a community will go to protect their town's secret. The Sodhouse Theater of Minneapolis has created an adaptation of the play that is playing in a number of communities around Minnesota, and it's being performed twice on Saturday in the Taylor's Falls Memorial Community Center. Taylor's Falls, of course, is across the river from St. Croix Falls. Joining us to talk about the play is Darcy Engen, co-founder and co-artistic director of the Sodhouse Theater and one of the adapters of the play. Well, Darcy, the information sent to us calls the project a bluegrass-infused classic tour to Taylor's Falls. Does that mean it's a musical, or what does that all mean?
Yes, it does work just like a musical. My co-artistic director and partner, Laverne Seifert, and I are working with some musicians and composers, and together we ribboned through bluegrass folk music throughout the play. Those songs help the play sort of tell the inner life of each character, as well as sort of help us propel time in just the hour and a half that we are performing the play.
Let's find out about the Sodhouse Theater Company. Do you have a home theater?
You know, we don't have a physical building. We are just this entity, and we're so grateful to be funded by the Minnesota State Arts Board for the last 7 years. We travel around rural Minnesota, and we perform usually classic plays that have a contemporary resonance. So as you might imagine in your lovely intro about Enemy of the People, that play is about poisoned water or contaminated water, and we became quite interested in that way back when the Flint, Michigan debacle happened. We remembered that play, and we went back and read it and became just incredibly inspired and thought to ourselves, well, this certainly is timely. And then as the years have passed, we now know that it's not just Flint, Michigan, right? This is the story of our nation. And many, many communities are having issues and discovering problems with water. And I think it's our next national journey together. It's our next national story.
How many other communities is this show being presented?
We are going to many communities this summer. We're going to Blue Earth, Fairmont. We're going to many, I think about 11.
Is this your annual routine, so to speak?
Well, what we do is we gather friends of ours that are actors in Minneapolis at the Guthrie and the Children's Theater in the Jungle, and we gather actually in our backyard in northeast Minneapolis, and we start putting the play on its feet, and we use our backyard because another thing about Sodhouse that's quite unique is that we always perform in a site-specific location that's not a theater space. And usually it's a space that has some resonance or meaning for the community that we're in.
We are talking to Darcy Engen, who is co-artistic director and co-founder of the Sodhouse Theater in Minneapolis. You talked about getting ready in the backyard. What do you do for sets? Do you have anything for sets?
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. We actually use the site as our set. So, for instance, for An Enemy of the People, it starts off with a very large celebration that's really family fun. It's like a festival celebrating their water source, their springs that brings in tourism. So it's a celebration of that particular event, and we have a lot of games, and we have it in a park that's in the city, so it's talking about the father of realism. It feels very real, like you're at a festival in your own small town. And then the play moves to, usually, if we're lucky, the town's courthouse. And we use that at the end of the play when they are legally sort of arguing about what to do about this secret about the poisoned water. And that works beautifully. We were in Fergus Falls, I'm remembering, and there were a few tables in the courthouse, and we even found a gavel, asked permission if we could use that, and we used that. And so everything that's in our environment that we've chosen that matches the particular play we're doing, we'll use that as our set. We certainly do have buckets of props and other things that we bring along, but the set is the location.
So I gather you use some local people in the actual production?
We usually do use local people, yes. Almost all the time we use local actors, and that's one of the great joys for us with Sodhouse. We sort of fell on this crazy recipe of how we're working. We wanted to do a play called The Cherry Orchard. It's a play about the loss of a family estate, a Russian play by Chekhov. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do that in mansions around Minnesota. Our first little adventure was to New Ulm, Minnesota, and we didn't have a grant large enough to pay our professional actors, as many professional actors as we needed, so we cast professional actors in some key roles, and then some of the other key roles, the big parts, were cast by community actors. And it was such an amazing process, because once we all got into a room and started working on the play, the lines between professional and community actors really dissipated. And when we got done with that process, we sat down. I remember looking at my partner, Laverne, and we just said that was like the most satisfying theater experience we've had in a long time. And particularly, my partner works professionally all the time around the city. So it's really something we love. We love doing it.
Talk a little bit about the adaptation that you folks did. How does that work?
Yes, we were lucky enough. I'm a professor at Augsburg University, and we were so lucky to be able to work with a group of students for 1 month at Augsburg right when we became interested in it. And we sort of came up with a rough outline of what we could keep and what we could let go. And it was rehearsal, and then it was hours and hours after sort of really combing through that script and taking out what we absolutely needed to tell that story, both in terms of narrative, but also the emotional journey of some of those main characters. And we'd really discussed about how can we make this play speak to our contemporary audience. So the original play, if you remember, or if anybody's read it that's listening, was two brothers. One was the mayor and one was the doctor, and we turned that into two sisters. That had a little bit of a ripple effect in terms of spouses, but we were just amazed at how having female characters at the helm of that particular story made us actually hear some of those arguments in a really complicated and different way, and so we were pleased with that. So we did a lot of combing and shortening during that month at Augsburg, and then we joined the musicians, and they responded to what we had done and really took those notions and created some beautiful music about what it means to be in a small town, about what it means to have your town's identity connected with a natural resource of water, some songs that reflect the inner emotional life of the characters. And then we just went back and did another comb through. And on that version, we weaved that beautiful music all the way through.
This is original music?
It is, yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely, completely original music based on Ibsen's play and Laverne and I's adaptation of it.
Well, can you have an idea? In the first place, I guess I'm still a little fuzzy about when your season ends and then what's going on, what's happening. Are you thinking about next year yet?
We do. We think about next year quite a lot. I could tell you about next year, but our season is we do one project a year usually. Sometimes mm-hmm. we do two.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes about a year planning for this kind of massive tour that we do. And we start rehearsals in July at some point, depending on where that July 4th holiday falls.
Mm-hmm.
And then we usually start our tour at the end of July through usually the end of August. It just depends on how many locations that we're going to that particular year.
Well, we've been talking to Darcy Engen, who is co-artistic director and co-founder of the Sodhaus Theater of Minneapolis. The theater company is staging Henrik Ibsen's play, An Enemy of the People. The show will be presented at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Saturday in the Taylor's Falls Memorial Community Center. For ticket information, I suggest you use your favorite internet search engine and search for the Sodhaus Theater. Darcy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Can I add one thing, if
sure.
you don't mind?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they can go on the website. Yes, they can get tickets, but you can also show up at the location, and we'll have tickets for you there.
Okay. Sounds great.
Thank you.
And thank you, as usual, Mr. Oliver. Here's some Spectrum memoranda for you on Spectrum West. Friday night during Reggae Fest at the Plus in downtown Eau Claire, the Meditations going to perform. Pretty famous. Thursday listeners, here's some stuff coming up. Tonight, the Sounds Like Summer Concert Series at Phoenix Park in Eau Claire features Ariana Madsen, Licio, and Eduardo Rafael. It all begins at 6 o'clock. Park Beats, summer music series in Osseo Farmers Market, runs Monday evenings through August 27th. Music starts at 6 p.m. Next Monday, the 30th of July, hear the Blind River Band. Music in the Park in Ladysmith's Memorial Park happens every Thursday night. Tonight, if you're listening Thursday, it's the music of Danville, sponsored by the Flambeau Valley Arts Association, from 6 to 8 p.m. Ladysmith Black Mambazo, coming to Ladysmith, Wisconsin next Wednesday, the 1st. We're going to talk with a guy who's been with that group since 1969, Albert Mazibuko, coming up. The Barron County Pioneer Museum's been around for nearly 60 years. It's a gem. It's always evolving. It does what good museums do. It looks ahead while at the same time looking back. Tammy Schutz is its director.
We're an open-air history museum. We have approximately 50 buildings, including a 1880s Pioneer Village. It has a one-room schoolhouse, old country church, doctor's office, blacksmith shop, numerous log buildings for events, the volunteers dress in costume for the time period and do a lot of demonstrations.
What is the season?
We open around the 1st of June, the weekend after Memorial Day, and we close the weekend after Labor Day.
It is a project of the Barron County Historical Society, is it not?
Correct.
The history goes all the way back to 1960. That's pretty impressive. Now, I also read that the society is in the planning stages for an expansion. Tell me about that.
We are planning on building a archival library and research center and take on the Blue Hills Genealogical Society. They will begin meeting there and keeping their records there as well so that we can help people do their family histories much more efficiently because they have a lot of records and we have a lot of records, but they're in two different locations and they have more expertise than we do on researching these kinds of things. What we're envisioning is a building that would have this library. It would have an area to show a orientation film when people come to the museum that would tell a little about the history of the county, also a little bit about what they would see there at the museum, things to look for. We would use that, too, as our gatehouse. That would be where they enter and possibly have our gift shop in there, kind of an all-purpose building.
Oh, yeah. I guess what I haven't asked is where exactly is the museum?
It's between Cameron and Barron. We're about a mile and a half from Cameron and probably 3 miles, I'd say, from Barron. It's not too isolated, but it isn't in town. We're at 1866 13.5/14th Avenue. We're pretty close to the Highway 53 exit, probably about 2 miles from there.
Okay. All right. So it is convenient.
Yes.
Good. Tammy Schutz with us. She is director of the Barron County Pioneer Museum. They have a big weekend coming up Friday through Sunday, August 3rd through 5th at the museum. It is kind of a sandwich, I guess, the encampment being the bread. And then in the middle is a Saturday event that's a bit different. Local Authors, Actors, and Artists Day. Tell us about that first, and then we'll talk about the whole weekend.
Okay. This will be the third year that we've had our Local Authors, Artists, and Actors Day, and we're just highlighting those people from the area that have some special talents. They can set up a booth and sell their wares, and they also have time to be on stage and talk a little bit about what they do or anything that they want to share with us. And that goes from 10 until 4 on Saturday, August 4th.
Yeah, that's a nice addition. And now to the Mountain Men. I had to add, and women? Question mark. Okay, good. The Mountain Men encampment, as you told me prior to our conversation, and you will tell me again now, I wager, is getting an overhaul for 2018.
It's been a closed group in the past. They were getting older and having some health issues. So this year it's opened up to other enactors to come. We're hoping to get a really nice crowd. So we're not sure exactly what all the demonstrations will be. Traditionally, in most rendezvous, you would have like knife and hawk demonstrations. And a lot of times people that are visiting get a chance to try it as well. Mm. Black powder shoots, bow shooting, sometimes storytelling, flint knapping. We had that last year and we had a blacksmith on the site. I mean, we always have it at the village, but we had it at the encampment. Beading and leatherwork, Dutch oven cooking, that sort of thing.
For people who have never been to an encampment, describe it a little bit. I mean, these are people who really take this stuff seriously, and they live primitively for a few days.
Yes. All the lodges are canvas lodges, if they have a cooler or anything like that, they cover it up with a blanket or put it in a wooden box so you don't see it. They want it to look like the 1700s or early 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
They're dressed in generally moccasins or some similar footwear, and they are doing all the things that would have happened at that time,
yeah.
You know, doing the storytelling and the music, all the things they would have done when they got together.
I wonder if you can buy, or as they make their buckskin clothing, I wonder if they sew in a little cell phone pocket.
I'm not sure about that, but you don't see cell phones when you go through these camps.
Oh, no. And if they're in the tent or hidden under something, they, I'm sure, have them on silent.
I heard a story that if you get caught with one, that gets thrown in the fire, but I don't think it's quite that drastic.
Ooh.
About it.
You can get a ring that sounds like crickets. That might fool people.
Might.
Tell me about Friday, because that's special if you're a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout.
Yes, if Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts come in their uniform, they get in free that day.
Wonderful. What a great idea.
We hope to get quite a few school groups or summer day camp groups. In the past, we've had a number of them come from quite a distance, actually.
I want to get into just a little bit about how people can help you guys do what you do. How do people support the Barron County Pioneer Museum? You do have a website. People who have been there have said, I'm sure, what a wonderful place this is, and I'd like to donate to make sure that it keeps going and that they can realize their expansion plans. Tell me about how someone gets involved, and you might even talk about becoming a volunteer, because you need those as well.
We do need volunteers. We have a website. It's PioneerVillageMuseum.org, and also Facebook page. You can go to either one of those, and they will tell you about these opportunities to donate or volunteer or become a member or all of the above. It's fun for everybody, because whatever their interest is, we probably need that. So if you like to be a docent and just greet visitors and tell them about some of the history of the area, or if you want to work in the kitchen, if you want to help with our record keeping, working in our archives, building displays, working on the grounds, or helping to build a cabin or whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
We can use a lot of people for that. The members, of course, are important because they're the backbone of the organization. Not only financial support from their membership, but they vote on making decisions on the direction that the museum is going to take. And if any of those things interest you at all, just give us a call or drop us a line. We would be happy to let you know more.
Preserving the past helps to appreciate and make the future even better. We've been talking about the Barron County Pioneer Museum with its director, Tammy Schutz. Tammy, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. I hope traffic is backed up trying to get in.
Okay, well, thank you.
Again, best way to make contact other than stopping by in the big weekend online, PioneerVillageMuseum.org. Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Al Ross, along with Jim Oliver. Thanks for joining us as usual. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Minnesota Marine Art Museum in Winona, previewing the National Eagle Center's collection of eagles in American culture, ranging from John James Audubon to Andy Warhol, mmam.org.
Beautiful rain, for rain, for rain,
for rain, for rain, beautiful rain, don't disturb, beautiful rain.
Ladysmith, a town in Wisconsin and a town in South Africa. Ladysmith Black Mambazo, a world-renowned group of South African men who perform a vocal art called Iskatamiya. A cappella singing that's indigenous to their homeland. Paul Simon provided a very large platform on his seminal Graceland album of the 1980s. Soon they're coming to Ladysmith, Wisconsin to sing, and one does not pass up the opportunity to talk with Albert Mazibuko, a member of the group for many years, even when the phone call is long distance, like to the Netherlands, where they were performing earlier this week.
When the sun says goodnight.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us, and we're excited to have you come to Wisconsin.
Oh, thanks for having me, and then was so excited by coming there. And then I even saw the familiar name there.
Yeah.
Is that a place called Ladysmith?
Ladysmith, Wisconsin.
Wow, I was surprised. What?
Yeah.
Very excited.
I think I was reading that there's only four places in the world named Ladysmith.
Okay.
Tell me about Joseph Shabalala, how he got it all started. Now, in the history on your website, it says, quote, finally, in 1969, with four brothers and three cousins, Joseph had the voices that he long dreamed of his group having, unquote. So was one of those voices yours?
Yes, it was. Fortunately, it was.
You know, they listed brothers and cousins. Which one were you?
We are cousins.
Okay. Well,
so, yeah, but in our culture, we call each other brothers.
What were you doing when he discovered you as a member?
I was working as a mechanic, as a young man. In fact, I was helping the guy who was a mechanic. And in fact, it was a dream come true to me because I knew Joseph from my young age. Joseph, he has been my hero at that time because he was very famous, very good singer. He was very good at stick fighting, and he was very famous with the girls, something that it was very important that time.
Sure.
So he was my hero. I was always following him, but he didn't know that. I told him later. That time he was conducting the marriage because the singing in our culture when somebody's getting married, it's a big thing. That's the main event. So he was very good at that. But in 1967, me and my brother, we went to where they were rehearsing. So we tried to join the group, but the other members, they said, no, we're too many. We don't need the other members. But Joseph was polite, and then he said, oh, you can sing this kind of music. It's Patamia. We said, yes. And then he auditioned us, so we sang. He said, oh, you are very good. Come and practice with us. But we didn't go back there because we felt that we were not welcomed by the other members.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1969, when Joseph came, I will never forget that day. It was in mid-morning on Sunday. I was living with my uncle and then with my brother and one of my cousins. And Joseph just showed up. And when he showed up and then he came, we greeted him very excited. And then he sat down. He said to our uncle, so I'm here just to ask you to allow me to take these two guys, my brothers, sing with me because I had a dream that I dreamed of my grandmother. She said to me, as I'm struggling to establish the group, they are the one who are going to help me to achieve that.
It's a great story.
And my uncle was very excited. I said, wow, this is good. Okay, use them. They are not doing anything on weekends, so they are always following me around here. I was so excited because that was a big dream come true to me. I said, wow, he came to ask us to sing with him. I stood up, I stood up, and then I jumped up. I said, wow, this is wonderful. Start now teaching us. And then he said, no, I want to tell you a story first before we get into that part. And then he started to explain to us. He wanted to create a new way of singing. He wanted to write the new songs, the songs that was going to empower people and talk to people, tell their story that is going to remind people of South Africa who they are. I said, wow, this is wonderful. And then so I sat down, and then he said, so this is what I'm looking for. And then I asked him, oh, but it's going to be easy because you have your group. He said, no, I left that group because they didn't want to learn what I was teaching them. They said my teaching was too complicated for them. So now I need somebody that was going to dedicate themselves and then try to do this kind of singing that I want us to sing.
Sure.
And then he said, also, I have learned all the techniques of blending the voices from the dream that I have dreamt. And then he told us about the dream that he dreamt people singing for him. And then he said, I've learned everything. So now I'm ready to teach the lesson that I've been taught in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were quiet, sitting down now. And then he said, okay, let's start with singing this new song. And then he taught us two new songs that day. Mm. The one was called Nkosi Yamakhosi, but it translated as King of Kings.
Oh, King of Kings.
King of Kings, before you, Father, appealing, asking for peace in the rest of the country. Lord of Lords, we kneel before you, Father, appealing,
Father,
asking for peace in the rest of the country. Our Father, our Father, we are asking for peace in the world. Our Father, our Father, we are asking for peace in the world. Reveal yourself, reveal yourself, reveal from heaven.
It was a kind of singing that I've never heard in my life. The way of singing, and then even the song, which it was a brand new song. And then he also taught us another song, which was a very easy song, but it is more dancing songs called Buya Duduam. It means Come Back, My Love. So we learned these two songs the whole day, and then go to this one and go back to the other one until the sunset. When he left, we were very excited. We said, this is something that we've never had in our lives. And then from there, we never stopped. So the following day, it was Monday, we went to work. When we come back, we got together. And we were rehearsing every day after work from 6 in the evening, maybe up until 11 in the evening.
Wow. That's dedication. Now, I want to tell our audience, you've used the word a few times. The style of music you sing is called iskhatamiya, which is
yes.
A traditional South African style that the workers in the mines would do as entertainment on the one day of the week that they did not have to go underground. And, you know, it's interesting to talk about the very beginning, but now we can fast forward. It has to make your head spin to think that next year it's 50 years of involvement. For you, is it possible to tell me how much those 50 years have added to your life?
Wow. You know, I don't know how to put this, but it's very exciting just to think about that. You know, sometimes to me, it feels like it was just yesterday. I said, oh, it's already 50 years?
Yeah.
But anyway, to be honest, I'm very humble and very grateful, especially to God, that he gave me life and then he gave me this opportunity. Because to stay doing something for that many years and then still enjoying it, it's wonderful. It's something
yeah.
that every day when I wake up, I said, wow, I'm one of the luckiest people in this lifetime.
That's wonderful. That's the voice of Albert Mazibuko. That's his speaking voice. You're going to hear his singing voice along with how many others in the group, Albert?
We are 9 in the group.
9, okay. So you will be hearing Albert and 8 of his best friends, better known as Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and they are appearing in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. How's that for an association? Yes. Wednesday evening, August 1st, 7:30 p.m., Ladysmith High School Auditorium, which is a very nice place. People do call me Al. You have to understand, Albert, and now I understand with your first name that I enjoyed it immensely back in 86 when Paul Simon sang a pretty cool song with my name in it, and he had your name in it too, I guess.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight, far away in my well-lit door. Just a beer belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out.
A little little bit about that Paul Simon run, because he used you guys on stage a lot. That had to be a fun part of your career.
It was. It was, you know, it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to the group, to be on stage and sing those songs. Call Me Al, that was one of the songs that made me so excited every time when we were singing it. So every time, that wow, this is wonderful.
Were you guys only featured on the Graceland album, or did you do other things with Paul after that?
After we did all the recordings that we did with him, and then after that we did a world tour that was wonderful.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
We went everywhere in the world. So it was, that's where the in most world they've learned about Les Mis Black Mambazo. So we are still reaping those fruits. We are still going back to those places every time people keep asking us and inviting us to come back.
Now, I mentioned Iskademia, the style of music that you guys sing. Now, you guys also move around on stage pretty well. Is Iskademia traditionally, does that involve the hand and feet movement as well, or is that something you guys have added?
It's something that we added because what we wanted to put more, or you know, entertainment when we sing.
Sure.
But we make sure that the music stays perfect, and that's why when we are creating the movement, we make sure that all the movement that we are creating, it goes with the rhythm of the song.
Sure.
So in order for you, when you are dancing, you are breathing, so everything is going to work together.
Okay.
So it's a lot of dancing, and it's wonderful. And then I have young blood in the group, so we have a lot of energy, but I always try to keep up with them.
Good. I want you to know that I purchased over the weekend the Shaka Zulu Revisited album. You won a Grammy, I understand, for Best World Music Album with that album. I like it all, but there are some songs that have English titles and there are songs that have... what is the language that you speak in South Africa?
It's Zulu.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
All right, now you just a few moments ago talked about young blood, and I like to make it a point to talk with musicians about how their music is accepted by and hopefully carried on by younger generations. Are there young people doing, not just the guys in your group now, but are there young people doing what you guys do, and are they waiting in the wings to continue your music when you guys decide you don't want to do it anymore?
Yes, they are. Many of them, they are waiting on the wings. But, you know, the trick of Les Mis Black Mambazo to be a part of the group, when we rehearse, we have an open rehearsal. So everyone is allowed to come and be with us when we are rehearsing. Mm-hmm. So that's how the new member has become a part of the group. So in that case, because if you rehearse with us and then so we can learn about you, that you're how, what kind of person you are, because we don't want to be surprised when we are maybe on tour, find someone is not behaving, you're not on time, so someone is not, you know, respectful as we are, because we it's not only about singing that Joseph taught us. He also taught us a good lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
That because we are representing the good music, so the music is the food of the soul, so we have to be a good people too.
That's great. Albert Mazibuko, thank you so much for sharing your immense talent and your culture with us. It is smart to come here, by the way, to Wisconsin in the summer. You would not want to come in the winter. I hope Les Mis Black Mambazo goes on for another 50 years. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Hey, beautiful girl. Hey, baby, hey. Si.
Hey, baby, hey. Hey, hey. Hey, beautiful girl.
Hey, baby, hey. Si.
Hey, baby, hey. Hey, hey. Hey, beautiful girl. Come along, true, kiss me. Here for I'm going, come along, true kiss me. Here for I'm going, don't you kiss me, nice, nice. Here for I'm going, don't you kiss me, nice, nice. Here for I'm going, come along.
to meditate.
Won't you meditate? I send a messenger to tell you that I want to meet you at the station. Come along to kiss me. Before I'm going, come along to kiss me. Before I'm going, don't you kiss me, nice, nice. Before I'm going, don't you kiss me, nice, nice. Before I'm going, come along, come along, come along.
Hello, my baby.
Hello, my baby.
Hello, hello,
hello, my baby.
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 Hello, my baby. Hello, my baby.
Hello, my baby.
Hello, my baby.
Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Ladysmith High School Auditorium, Wednesday, August 1st, 7:30 p.m. Tickets online at www.brownpapertickets.com or at the Toad House, the Ladysmith City Hall, and the Rusk County Visitors Center. Wow. Yes, I'm speechless. A couple of quick more Spectrum memos for you. Colfax Music in the Park tonight, the 26th. It's the music of the White Pine Dixieland Ramblers, 7 p.m. Tower Park downtown. Summer concerts, UW River Falls continue Tuesday, July 31st. Hear Chris Silver and the Good Intentions. Bit of bluegrass for you, 7 p.m. Melvin Hall Amphitheater. Thanks, Cora, Kate, and Colin Back. Thank you for listening. We're going to return next week for more artistic colors of the spectrum. Talk with Jerry Way, and he's bringing his guitar along. The River Falls Library is opening a unique exhibit. We have that for you. And more, always more on Spectrum West for Al Ross, for Jim Oliver. I'm Al Ross. Of course, I could represent myself, too. Thanks again. See you next week.